Turn with me to Luke 15. A couple of weeks ago, I got this thought, close to 2 weeks ago, I guess, and about how I sure am glad I am forgiven and that my sin has been taken care of. But I got to thinking about how the fact that I have needed forgiveness since I have been forgiven. I'm glad Jesus' death on the cross did not take just our past sin, sin before salvation, but it deals with our present sin, our failures of today. And then I thought also, well, since I need to be forgiven, that means others need to be forgiven. And that means you do. And I'm glad, I hope, that you have experienced the forgiveness that God has provided as far as between Him and you. But there are times that the forgiven need to be forgiven. I mean by that, we still blunder, we still fail. Sometimes you'll be the recipient of their failure. Somebody may do something against you, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose, but it hurts just about as much. I want to try to preach on this thought, forgiving the forgiven. Look on, let's look just in verse 27. We know the story. Prodigal son's usually what we call it. It ought to be prodigal's father because it's the center of the story's him and not the son. But in verse 27, this is service speaking to the brother. Thy brother is come and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. We find in this parable forgiveness, how the father forgave the son. We could say first, there one is bad. Look in verse 13. We know the story. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. One in this story is bad. He has devoured what the father has provided. He's misused it, abused it, taken it to his own pleasure and gone to the far country. And he has done that displeased and hurt the father. And for a time, he's content to stay there. He is satisfied in his hog slop. He is satisfied in his selfishness. He is satisfied in his righteous living. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, though. And this man did not prosper. I say this evening, no matter what type of sin, it is something that is bad. It is something we should not ignore or take lightly. And what I'll say tonight is not suggesting at all that we take sin lightly or we ignore any type of sin. This bad man that's doing bad did finally come to himself. And he genuinely repented. So I say first, one is bad. Then we find not only is one bad, but one is glad. In verse 20, the father. And he arose and came to his father when he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son was bad. But when he repented, when he acknowledged his condition and came home, the father was glad to receive him. He ran when he saw the son coming. He did not even let him go through his little speech that he had rehearsed in saying, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. He restored him. So we see one is bad and one is glad, but then we also have to say there is one that is mad. And that's what I read to begin with. Verse 28 says, "And he, the elder son, was angry and would not go in. He refused to forgive the one that had been forgiven. He refused to forgive the younger brother. He would not acknowledge what the father had done. He would not acknowledge the father's forgiveness. He is never more unlike his father than at this point." I ask you this evening, how should we handle those who have failed? How should we handle those who have wronged us? How should we handle somebody who has, listen, done wrong, confessed, and been forgiven? That's my message. Forgiving the forgiven. Here's one that is bad and one that is glad and one that is mad. There are times where God deals with sin abruptly. I think about Achan. All he did was take a little bit of clothing and a few pieces of silver and gold and some stuff. God didn't give him a second chance. Whoop! I think about Ananias and Sapphira. All they did was sort of fib a little bit, hold back a little bit of what they promised God, and God zapped them dead. But usually God does show mercy. God thanked him for this. He shows us mercy. And how should we respond? We know how God responds, but he is God. How should we respond? The Bible tells us, Matthew 18, 17, if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Here's what we do when someone is in sin and they refuse to get right. He said, let it be known. And if they don't get right, set them aside as far as your fellowship. I'm telling you, that's an abrupt thing, but that's what we're supposed to do. If they don't get right, Romans 16, 7 says, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Those that's going around spreading heresy. He says, mark them and avoid them. He said, if they don't admit their fault, mark them and stay away from them. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I have written unto you to not keep company of any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. He says, stay away from those people who live in this lifestyle and will not admit it and will not repent. 2 Thessalonians 3:14 says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Titus 3:10 says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. All these verses I've mentioned is this. When somebody knows they're in sin, whether it's a heresy or an act or a habit or whatever, if somebody knows they're in sin, they have been acknowledged of that sin. God has shown them their failure and they refuse to get right. We as God's people are to shun them and never for harshness, never to hurt them. But that it might, as the verse said, that they might be ashamed. That they might see what they're doing to be wrong and get right with the Lord. That's always God's desire. That's always his goal, not to discard or to hurt or to harm or to come down harshly. But always it is his desire to draw that person back. To show them that sin costs too much. You're paying too much. Just like the prodigal, I'm always willing and waiting for you to come back. If you will, you'll find a God of mercy. And We are to have that attitude. So I say this evening, how are we to handle those who have been forgiven, though? Those verses I mentioned are about people who have not confessed and will not get right. Oh, listen. We are to handle the forgiven tenderly. If God has forgiven them, who are we not to do the same? We are to forgive those that God has forgiven. Now, I'll just say there are some things we can do to disqualify ourselves. The Bible's clear about certain positions in the church. A pastor's to be the husband of one wife. A deacon's to be a husband of one wife. And some sin can disqualify a person for the rest of their lives. But for the most part, restoration is possible. And restoration is good. And it's what God desires. If they repent, if God forgives them, so should we. I know this. He's forgiven me at times when I sure didn't deserve it. In fact, I'll just tell you the truth. Every time He's forgiven me, I haven't deserved it. I don't merit His forgiveness. I don't earn His favor. When I am confessing a sin or a failure, I have to say, oh God, I didn't have to, but I did. You would have given me grace, and I did not accept that grace. I did not appropriate that grace, and I have sinned against you. Oh, God, have mercy on me. And so it is with this younger son. And so it should have been with the elder son. A lot of times one blunder and we'll write them off forever. A life of good can be wiped out by one fault or one failure. On the other hand, one blunder can make something we never forget. I'm talking about God does restore the fallen. And if the Father's that way, the absolute holy God can forgive and it's gone. Who are we to not do the same? We are absolutely unholy. We have failed God miserably ourselves. Who are we to not forgive those who He has forgiven? Well, I've gotten to the message finally. There should be a personal examination. Notice just a portion of verse 29. While the younger son's in the far country, here's what the elder son says. When he comes back, here's what he says to the father. These many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. Well, excuse me, elder son, but you ain't seeing things clearly. He said to the father, your son went to the far country, and he's wasted your substance, living like a dog, living like a hog. And while he's out there having a good time, I've been here serving you. I've been here every day and every night. I've been faithful to you. And all these years, or however long it's been, I've never disobeyed. I've never missed a commandment. I've never done one thing against you. I got a problem with that. He's wrong. That's the entire story of the parable. Jesus is trying to get the scribes and Pharisees, the Jews, to realize they have sinned also. And this elder son did not see himself as he was. There should be a personal examination. In other words, we need to look at ourselves first. How can I look down on that person who has been forgiven? Too bad, when I know in my own life I've done something just as bad or worse than they did. And God has forgiven me. There are times I have needed a friend when, to be honest, I did not deserve it. But somebody was willing to be kind to me and treat me right. And that person who has fallen and been forgiven needs a friend like never before. I'm talking about there should be a personal examination. We should look at ourselves first when we're looking at who has done wrong. I wonder how many times have people done something wrong, realized it, confessed it, gotten forgiven, but they did not get accepted. They were mistreated by God's people, and it drove them back into that sin. And they did worse, not because of the temptation to sin, but because of how they were treated by God's people. I'm talking about a personal examination. We should look at ourselves first. That person who has confessed and been forgiven. Hey, if God has forgiven them, so should we. Now, I'll be honest. All afternoon, I wonder, why in the world are you preaching this message? And I still don't know, but I know this. This is what God said to preach. Personal examination. Look at myself. This elder brother said, I haven't done anything wrong. While he's done all he wanted to do and had a good time, I've been here serving you faithfully. But he had not. He had failed the Father also. And most of us have failed more than those who have that we're looking at and examining. Lack of forgiveness is as much sin as the person who did what they did. We need to realize, we need to recognize, we need to forgive. We are never more like our Father than when we forgive. We're never more unlike our Father than when we refuse to forgive. There should be a personal examination. There should be, secondly, a powerful example. I just said it. When we forgive others, it is an example of our Father's forgiveness. We are being like our Father when we forgive others, especially if they have wronged us. But whether it's wrong against us or not is immaterial to my message and my thought and the truth of Scripture. I mentioned first a personal examination. In other words, instead of looking at them, I need to look at me and realize I have done just as wrong and maybe worse than they had. I have no right to condemn them. If they have confessed and they have been forgiven, I have no right to not forgive them myself and act as though it didn't happen. A personal examination, but a powerful example. There's no greater example in Scripture than a sinful person who knows they've failed but been forgiven, forgiving someone else who has sinned and been forgiven. Do you understand? It is a powerful example of the Father. It is being like Him, like never before, when we forgive. I'm talking about those who have confessed and been forgiven. We need to forgive. We need to act as though it didn't happen. We need to welcome them into our fellowship, into our friendship, into our relationship. There needs to be a personal examination. Look inside first at me. There needs to be a powerful example. We need to be like our Father. But then lastly, there needs to be a positive expectation. I don't know what happened to this younger son. I have no idea. We are not told. We are not told what happened to the elder's son. But I do know this. Those who have failed, acknowledge their failure, and have really gotten right, so many times have soared higher than when they failed. Because they learned something in the far country. That younger brother learned, it says, when he came to himself. In that pig slop, in that pigsty, in that pig lot, he got his eyes opened to what he really was. Now, I say this carefully, but it's the truth. He could not have learned that back at Daddy's house. I'm not saying at all that he had to go there. I'm not saying that at all, but he did. And God used that failure to teach that boy something. He came to himself. He also said, I'm going back to my father. Oh, it's better back at daddy's house. I thought I wanted this, but I found out this don't make me happy. I say this carefully. He couldn't learn that back at the daddy's house. Hey, I'm not saying that he had to go, but I'm saying since he did go, he learned some things. I'm talking about a positive expectation. In other words, we can realize and should realize that person who has failed and been forgiven may do greater now because they've learned something in the far country. They've learned something through their failure. Think about David. He committed adultery before an entire nation. Didn't just the neighbors hear about it on his street? Wasn't just a secret kept among family. It wasn't just the community he was living in that found out about it. The nation, and by the way, the world, because I'm telling us about it now because God told on them. David sinned before the world, but he got right and got forgiven. And he said in Psalm 51, let me get right, let me be forgiven, and sinners, I'll teach them the way to God. Now that's my paraphrase, but that's what he said. He said, I have fallen, I have failed miserably. And boy, he poured his heart out to God. He repented and got right. And God used David greater after his failure than before. What about Peter? Peter cursed, swore, and said, I do not even know the man. But he went out and wept bitterly, got right with God, and God used him greater after his failure than before his failure. And who's to know that those who have failed that we know about, those who have sinned that you maybe have thought about while I'm preaching, who knows what God could do through them? A positive expectation. Thinking positively about what might be ahead and expecting God to do something miraculous just because they failed, that doesn't mean they're gone. That doesn't mean they're kicked beside the wayside forever. At least shouldn't be. And we can be a part of that by being a friend and praying and understanding and accepting. Hey, I'm not talking about ignoring sin. I'm not talking one word about anybody who's still in sin. They got to deal with that. Turn them over to God. I'm talking about forgiving the forgiven. Those who God has forgiven, we have no right to hold in bondage. The song said we've been set free. I said it before. The blood of Calvary provides forgiveness. Not just for our sin before our salvation, but since our salvation. And if it's sufficient to forgive them, who are we to not forgive them? I want to tell you, there's somebody probably needs a friend right now. I'm honest. I'm telling you, I'm still bewildered about this message. I am. I have no thoughts, no thought process about what it means, practically speaking. But I know this. This is what God said, preach. There's somebody you know who probably needs somebody to reach out to them because they've failed and they've been discarded or they've been ignored and they've gotten right. People still aren't treating them right. I can think of some pretty close friends. Out-of-state friends that felt pretty bad. In fact, that's a kind way of saying what they did. But when I see them, I want to be a friend to them. I want to help them because the ones I'm talking about has gotten right. And I'll tell you, failure is not final, and it should not be for us, between us and other believers. Someday you're going to need somebody. One day it may be you. And you're going to need somebody who does not like sin and is against sin and prays for God to deal with those who are still in sin. But once they are right and confess and forgiven, that they put their arm around you, either literally or figuratively, and a friend. When we realize we're all in this thing together, it'll be good. It'll help us. I preached a lot of weird messages. I'll be honest, this ranks up pretty high on weird ones. But I've said what's on my heart, and I believe the Lord put it there. Just remember, sin is something God does not ignore or shun, and neither should we. But His grace is sufficient to forgive and restore. And so we should be willing to forgive the forgiven. Let's stand together.